The unsurpassed, penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with even 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself. Homage to all the Buddhas, homage to all the Dharmas, homage to all the Sanghas. But I was going to talk today about compassion and how to find, and a lot of Buddhist training is really how do we find the compassionate heart that can embrace whatever's happening to us, to the people we love, and to the world in general, and view it all with this non-judgmental way that sees the good and bad, but embraces it and understands the, you know, that there's karmic reasons for whatever's going on, and all we can do is what will bring a good result in what we're doing. And Reverend Masajiu had a teaching she often said is Buddhist training begins with compassion for oneself. And it's something it took me a number of years before I actually got a handle on that. You know, because actually I came from a point of view where I actually was deeply convinced being hard on myself was being good. It kept me in line. It kind of kept me from making serious mistakes. I wouldn't get puffed up about myself. I would kind of be grounded. And it actually took me a long time to actually realize that I was breaking the precepts by criticizing myself. Like most of you, the precepts we usually use is like do not criticize. Actually, it applies equally to yourself. You're breaking the precept if you think you criticize yourself, that there's something wrong with you, that it's the reverse of the criticism. You can have compassion for yourself. And compassion for yourself is often, we can actually understand, how can somebody make a mistake and have compassion? Well, think of a mother with a small child. Child can make all sorts of mistakes. The mother actually can recognize their mistakes, but the mother doesn't kind of think, wow, you're a bad four-year-old, you know. The mother can embrace the child and just realize with compassion this is being a four-year-old. It's amazing how we don't judge four-year-olds that much, usually, most of us, most of the time. But we judge 44-year-olds, thinking they should know better. But due to karma, it's not really any different. And actually, I've met four-year-olds who are doing better than some 44-year-olds. And I'm serious on that. There's some kids who are just together. They're just kind, compassionate beings. And there's plenty of 44-year-olds that are deeply deluded. You know, we have to have deep sympathy for the trust that there's a karmic reason. There's a reason why we want something. That's karma. There's a reason why we feel something. That's karma. And there's a reason why people make mistakes. People are selfish. It's like somebody will be selfish and somebody will kind of go, they shouldn't be doing that. And of course, obviously, if it's a bad thing to do, they shouldn't be doing it. But compassion, that's what everyone's struggling with. That at times, we're all selfish. You can say, but they're more selfish than me. perhaps, but it's the same thing. You know, if I'm opinionated, you can say, oh, God, he's full of his opinions. Somebody else, you can say, but they're so much more filled with their opinions. And it's the same karma. It's just somebody's doing a bit better with it than others. Just like, you know, I look at my greed, and it's not as bad as some other people's greed, but it's still the same greed. And we have to have sympathy for that there's a reason why everyone is having these difficulties. And a lot of it is... And we're really suffering always, and what we're really having compassion for is that actually everyone all the suffering is coming out and all the wrong behavior is coming out of delusion, ignorance. People are thinking they need this, they have to have that. They're filled with desire, the second noble truth. Suffering is due to attachment, due to desire. And it's only by through our practice, hopefully, that we can start seeing through all the things that we think we need, we want, and that's making us burning, really in samsara. And we have to start trusting and seeing through their appearance so we can actually realize, be free of it. But this is a hard thing to do, and we all have difficulty with it. And once we recognize how difficult we're finding it, we can start having compassion, both for ourselves, realizing, you know, we're finding this really difficult. And all of, you know, at times training isn't difficult, but at times for everybody, the practice is very difficult. If you're anyone who's always finding this easy to do, is probably deeply deluded. You know, you're not going to, you know, at times it can, you know, there's times where it's easy and times that it's hard, you know, it's like, but times that things drop away and times that we can't do it. But it's only by letting go of thinking of being so filled with our desires that we can open our heart and have compassion for others. Somebody who's complete, all you have to do is think when you desperately are worried or want something, how you cut yourself off from others. Just like if you're suffering intensely. It's amazing when people are depressed how much they don't even recognize anything outside themselves. They don't even recognize other people or perhaps even suffering more than them. All they see is, I'm suffering. And they close their eyes and don't realize that there's nothing special going on. It's just, it's all around them if you look. And we need, and compassion allows you to kind of embrace where you are. And I've been understanding that it's often not easy to be where we are. You know, if it was, you know, that's why this is training. You know, it's a hard practice to kind of, okay, not make a problem out of where you are right now. Make a problem about how somebody else is doing. And just realize this is the nature of things. And we have to really reflect on that feeling of that there is something going wrong. That sense of disconnect we have, of alienation, of feeling separate, of feeling like something's gone wrong. Just like people are, you know, just like people with the news are always feeling, everything's going wrong. I read Buddhist things where they're just ranting about everything going wrong. Things are going wrong, but things are also going right. You know, and if you just like at yourself, people will kind of come up to me and tell me, how poorly they're doing. And I look, and in a lot of ways they're doing fine, but they're doing some things poorly, and that's all they're seeing. It's almost like when I'm dealing with people, I can get along with, you know, somebody can be at the been at the Priory where they're getting along with everyone but one person, and all they seem to care about is this one person. And I think 10 other people like you, isn't that enough? Do you need everyone to like you? Do you have to get along with everyone? And in a way, this feeling of often we have of being stuck in ourselves, stuck with this karma. And I think we've all had that feeling like, I don't want to be me. I don't want to have to deal with this. And I can think when I first started Buddhist practice, I thought, I never asked for all of this. You know, I didn't ask to have these difficulties, these problems. Why am I having so much trouble letting things go? It wasn't like, wow, this is what I wanted ever. You know, nobody ever gave me a choice, like a life checklist. You know, I was born with a lot of it, and a lot of it was just there, but it's hard work to let go of it. It's hard work not to be bothered by it. And And in a way, we're really separated and exiled if we don't train from our own Buddha heart that there's something good that fills us, that actually fills the world that we don't see. You know, it's like the saying in Buddhism that samsara and nirvana are one. If you look at it with one way, you can see all the suffering, all the things actually you need compassion for, and it fills the world. But if you look another way, everything is the Buddha, and nothing is fundamentally being hurt, and the light of Buddha is everywhere, embracing everything. And training is getting in touch with the fact that that actually is always there. But as long as we're filled with how we want things to be, we just get caught up. You know, just like, you know, like people who get upset about the news. I mean, it's normal to feel something about it. That's a normal feeling. I don't read a story about horrible things happening and not feel something. But I also let it go and realize there's always birth and death. The fact that 20 people died in a school shooting. People are dying all the time. Just if they die in another way, is that really better? You know, if they die, you know, the parents are still losing children. In the end, it's kind of thinking, but they shouldn't die this way. But should they die that way? You know, die on a car accident, die from cancer, die this way. It's still suffering. It's still there. And it's always going to be happening, no matter what we do. We try to minimize it in every way we can, but there's no way to get rid of it because it's the nature of birth and death. But we alleviate the suffering by getting in touch with, you know, our own heart, which is only by letting things go and trusting that it's good to be where we are. There's not a fundamental problem. And develop the quality that the Buddha emphasized as really what converts our karma, patience. You have to put up with yourself. You know, this is a Buddha land that you can only find if you're willing to put up with it. And the people around you, the good, the bad, the different, the people we're born, you know, our children, our parents, co-workers, friends, you know, as Ramasaji used to like saying, if you look with the eyes of a Buddha, you will see the heart of a Buddha. So how do we see that heart? It's getting the way and not thinking, wow, not adding the but. they may have the Buddha heart, but they're so annoying. You know, or they shouldn't be doing this or doing that. When usually in the scheme of things, these, you know, most of the people we're dealing with are pretty normal people, you know, normal problems. You're not dealing with mass murderers, usually, you know. You know, it's like when I tell people, you know, to work on their, like a common thing I'm always telling people, people will say, you know, like, what should I do now when I leave the temple? And I'll often be telling them, well, see what you need to change to do better. You know, there's plenty in your life. See the big pieces, you know, like what you're doing that's not causing good, causing problems, you know, whatever it is, you know. And usually I'm not having to tell them, yeah, when you leave here, don't kill anybody. You know, don't steal, you know, because usually those people aren't showing up at the temple that have these huge problems. But it's the same teaching and all the rest. I would give the same teaching. It's just I would tell them, okay, focus on that. Don't worry. It's almost like when you alcoholics come to AA, usually they tell people, don't worry about your smoking for a while. Just stop drinking. That's enough. For a while. You'll deal with the smoking later, just like you'll deal maybe with the food problems later. Just first stop drinking. Then maybe you'll do, after that's not a problem, you'll deal with the rest. And we do that in our training. You know, deal with the big pieces of karma. The fact that you can't get along with this person who you're living with. You can't, you know, handle this. And one of the reasons we meditate is hopefully to open our hearts so we can see what we're feeling better, see what our mind is generating, and see what we need to really change. Like, why am I complaining? I've often sometimes noticed I'm sitting down, I just spent a few minutes just complaining. You know, okay, right? Obviously, that's a, you know, why am I complaining? Or just thinking, or just trying to worry about something, or, you know, or just being upset about something. I realize, okay, this is what I need to work on. Why am I doing this? And if you can't really have compassion for yourself, it actually won't work very well for you to think you're going to have compassion for others fully, you know, in a deep way. Because the hardest thing most of us have to put up with is other people who have our faults. You know, just think of somebody who's opinionated being around somebody else being opinionated. It's often a huge problem because, you know, somebody, whatever it is, because it's very hard to accept. You know, if you can't accept it in you, you'll have trouble accepting it in someone else. Like, it's, I don't think it's okay for me, but is it going to be okay for someone else? The odds are no. And we have to kind of appreciate the uniqueness and trust in the other person, that this is their training. This is, they have their own path. You know, even if they get something wrong, you don't know what it means. I've actually seen sometimes where I think when somebody makes a complete mess of things, that that actually was a good thing because they learned something from it. You know, like often being half-hearted, you don't learn anything. Wholeheartedly make a mistake, you learn something. So you don't know what it really means for the other person. And also, to really have compassion, we have to get in touch with the wisdom that allows us to see the unreality of the pain and the suffering, so we can see the real life of Buddha flowing through it. Because unless we can trust that, in a way, nothing is fundamentally being hurt. You know, like really, and one of the things to kind of look at is really where, what, when we're hurt, where's, what's really hurt? I was just talking, just before coming here, I'm talking to somebody and, you know, they're talking about, asking me about that, and it's like, you know, unless you kind of notice, you know, and they're going like, oh, it's the self is being hurt. Actually, the self, there isn't a self. The self is just the picture we have of ourselves, and we make that picture. And the interesting thing about that picture of the self we have, you ask everyone else who you are, and they have a completely different picture. They view you completely differently. You know, and you kind of think, this is who you are, and as you train, the picture changes. Because it's just an image, you know, a thing you tell yourself. And it's amazing how much you can feel it's damaged by what somebody else says about it. Wow. Just like I smile somebody not long ago at the Priory, you know, kind of goes to me and says, oh, you know, how much he hates unjustified criticism. You know, and I kind of just thought, you know, I may have mentioned this before, but, you know, none of us like any criticism. Because the self, we want that image of the self, you know, and you realize it's just, what difference does it make? Why do we care? You know, what are we carrying around? And that's one of the teachings in, you know, in Buddhism, they have the teaching of no self, anatta, but the teaching is almost like something to believe in rather than just realizing none of those things are anything solid or real. You know, just like I often kind of say to people, you're making a mistake if you think you're, like, if you think you're a good person, you're deluded. You know, and if you think you're a bad person, you're deluded, because actually, you're not any of those things. At times you behave good. Times you behave bad. Like, if I'm a good person, then what happens when I do something bad? You can say I'm kind, but I'm not always kind. My cat can attest to that. You know, I'm not always patient. I'm not always anything. At times I'm this and at times I'm that. And all I can do is concentrate on what I can do good now. And there isn't a self there. There's just what I'm doing now. You know, and the rest is just, it is whatever it is. There's good and bad, and if I don't cling to it, it's just whatever it is. And, it, you know, and then it helps you to have compassion because there's nothing going on. It's just what's unfolding in the moment. And we trust that it's all the life of Buddha. You know, there's something sacred if we're not holding on to it. A wholeness that we can find in whatever we're doing. But if we don't want to be where we're doing, we obviously can't find the wholeness. If we're not willing to be put up with what we're doing, we don't find the wholeness. You know, we're just not trying to be there. And I spent a lot of my, I think I went through my whole school life trying not to be there most of the time. You know, kind of why, I don't know. Looking back at it, it seemed pretty dumb. Since I wanted good grades, but I didn't want to pay attention. And when we don't feel compassion, when we're feeling separate, when we're feeling ill at ease, when we're getting upset, judgmental, we have to be mindful and see what's preventing ourselves from opening our heart. What are we really asking for? Where's the real problem here? Why can't we put up with this and try to deal with it? Because that lack of compassion is a form of suffering. It makes us feel disconnected from things. And actually, it feels actually good to feel connected. You know, that actually is what we all want. You know, we don't want to feel, oh, like this little isolated bubble. And that also makes us just get lost in the importance of this isolated bubble. Well, the compassion allows us to free ourselves from being trapped in me, which is a burden. You know, it's rough carrying around me all the time because the me is then very important. And liberation comes from not being important, not being significant, realizing there's nothing special going on. There's nothing special in your karma. Even if you think, wow, this is unique or different, it really isn't. It's even why support groups help, because people, it's good for people to hear whatever the problem is. It's normal stuff for a lot of people. You know, whatever's going on, this is part of the human condition. You know, so the compassion actually frees us, you know, to something we want to do, which is connect with others. And part of it is, and compassion also means we feel, a word very compassion is to be with the passions, compassion. The root of it is to be with the passions and just to be willing to feel the passions of others and have sympathy for them and feel it. And one of the things people often in Buddhism want, like somebody was just saying to me the other day, I don't want to be bothered by stuff. Actually, it's appropriate to be bothered by stuff. If I'm with somebody who's having difficulty, I'm bothered, you know, that they have to go through this. I'm hurt by what they go through. That's what compassion is you're feeling something. If somebody, something dreadful is happening to, compassion means you feel it. But you're not disturbed by it. You understand it in the bigger picture of birth and death, and that it's, on a deeper sense, it's okay, but of course you don't want it. The same way as I don't want any illness, you know. I would like, you know, I remember one of my friends in college, you know, kind of got in touch with me, and he's, you know, after I've been a monk for quite a long time, he said, it's so good that you've been following your bliss. And I thought, not only have I not been following it, I kind of have trouble thinking, have I ever had any? You know, it's like, you know, on the other hand, the training has made me feel like I'm doing what's right and good, and there's a wholeness to that, you know, which is there whether I feel good or bad. And I realize when I feel, you know, bad and I get caught up with it, okay, this is why I need to train, you know, I'm having difficulty with this, you know, I'm having trouble letting this go. Of course, the wholeness comes out of not demanding and expecting what we want to come from the outside, because we don't control that, how other people treat us, how the world is, you know, even how our body feels. These are all outside our control. You know, we can find a wholeness that's there no matter what the condition is, you know, no matter what's going on. And an example of that I like, you know, using is the fact that I remember reading something on people who have a syndrome called locked-in syndrome. It's where they're diagnosed with persistent vegetative states. But they found out after, when they kind of came up with portable brain scanners and other technology, that about 20 of the people who were percent of the people who are persistent vegetative states, actually, minds were fine. They just lost all ability to move any muscles. Sometimes they could do something like blink. It's like I remember reading somebody who had this, and he wrote a bestseller, Blinking an Eye. They would stop at each letter. He would blink, and he wrote a bestseller that way, and they made a movie of it, too. But the reason I put it is you're lying there in bed. You can't move anything. You largely can't communicate, even though it's nice nowadays they can use brain scanners or something to often get a yes or a no. All the things that we think meaningful in life, in a way, think of it, what's left? Can't do anything. If relating to people is important, most of that's gone. If helping others is important, that's gone. Sensual pleasures, gone. Almost everything we think of in life that we find meaningful is gone. So they did a survey with brain scanners or other methods, asking this whole bunch of people who were lying there, you know, with what they call locked-in syndrome. They gave them a standard psychological test on how their degree of well-being. The average person with locked-in was happier than the normal cross-section of population. And the scientist who did the study said, I think they've been forced to meditate. And think about them. They're lying there. What can they do? Instead of looking at the wall, they were stuck with the ceiling, but probably, unless they were propped up, I guess. And the reason that's an accurate thing is when they ask the same people, if you need to go on a breathing machine, artificial, you know, some breathing device, do you want to stay alive? Overwhelmingly, the families thought that would be time for them to go. Overwhelmingly, the people said no, which is obvious if they're as happy as a normal person, roughly. I mean, they weren't blissfully happy. It was just slightly above average. And the people who were having a hard time with it were people who actually had a hard time before. All of the people who had difficulty before, not surprisingly, a lot of them still had difficulty. I kind of raise that is that we look at where we are required. Life should give us this or that. And I can't think of anything that most of us would want less than what I just described, you know, than locked in. I know I was actually surprised. I thought probably these people are having a hard time with it. I would have assumed. And the fact that they didn't kind of points out, and actually this shows up in normal with people who have long-term illness. Actually, their well-being comes pretty much back to normal once they fully adjust to the illness. When people are seriously, kind of have serious limitations. And generally the people will over time adjust and kind of go back to the same level they had before. So we think in these terms that this is what we need and want, rather than trusting actually we can find a wholeness, and it's up to us. And a lot of training is to really see what it is that we're holding on to and kind of trying to trust we can work at letting it go. It's a process. You know, often people think and to try to take the teaching at to heart so we can try to find compassion for whatever's going on, for whatever the mistake made. An example I like using is the Dalai Lama asked a Tibetan monk who had been tortured by the Chinese, what did you fear most? And he said, I feared I'd lose my compassion for the torturers. And I thought, that's impressive. So that's any kind of, so all our difficulties, our greeds, our fears, our worry, our anger, can be resolved only if we accept them and try to have an open heart and try not to think like, oh, how could this be happening? What is wrong with me? This is just normal stuff. You're just a normal person. One of the unique things almost we all generally have is somehow we think there's something special about our problems. Whenever I talk to somebody, it's almost like, I know, but my problem, my difficulty is somehow harder. And we often look at others and think, oh, I would like to be like them without realizing they would probably going with the same thing. Oh God, I have this problem, this difficulty. And, not to try to see it special, just break it down. It's normal. It's just desire, just fear, just the normal things, just the defilements. And that's just getting in the way. And the defilements in Buddhism are what, we're converting and we need to convert to have compassion. The fact that we want all this stuff is greed, desire. The fact that we have ill will, anger, and hate is actually just the opposite of desire. It means we're not getting what we want. Whenever we're angry, nothing's going on. You're just not getting what you want. Or you're getting what you don't want, which is the same thing. Life is giving you, you're not getting what you want. And ignorance is a way we justify the fact that it's okay to be upset, and it's okay to think we need this. And provisionally, of course, we need stuff. It's just you don't have to get angry when you don't have it. Because if we use, wisdom, you can see it's be good to have it. It's the same way as I would like good health. I'd appreciate good health, but obviously, I have to be willing to accept bad health. And if I live long enough, it's inevitable that I'll get bad health because you don't die out of good health. We die out of bad health. the heart doesn't stop working unless something's going wrong. Anyway, I think I'll end the talk. For those who, people can make notes of things they want to bring up over when we do have discussions and the afternoon talk. And I'll talk tomorrow about feelings and emotions. So a thing I always like talking about because it's people often, one of those main areas people have difficulty with. How to relate to the fact to the strong feelings that we all have. Anyway, I'll say the three homages and end the talk. Homage to all the Buddhas, homage to all the Dharmas, homage to all the Sanghas.